Imagine a place, right, where you've got ancient history kind of bumping up against this really vibrant modern energy, all set in, well, just stunning natural surrounding.
Yeah, real blend.
Exactly. And today, our deep dive takes us right there to Ocho Rios, Jamaica, or Ochi as locals call it. It's famous for its beauty, sure, but there's this hidden history, these surprising changes we want to unpack.
Definitely. We're going to trace that.
So we've got this pile of sources you've sent over, and our mission really is to pull out the key insights. We're looking at everything from its slightly confusing name to its deep past and what's happening right now.
And it's quite a journey. What really stands out is how it evolves, starts as this, well, relatively sleepy fishing village,
Right.
and then through some pretty deliberate steps becomes this major international tourist spot and a vital port too. We'll track the whole story.
Okay, sounds good. So let's start with the basics, get our bearings. Ocho Rios, it's a coastal town, parish of St. Anne, up on Jamaica's north coast.
Coordinates about 18 degrees north, 77 west. Population, well, the 2011 census put it around 16,500, likely more now.
And its main role today.
Oh, primarily tourism. It's hugely popular. You've got the duty-free shopping, the cruise terminal brings in loads of people, lots of attractions, really well-known resorts.
But it's not just tourism, is it?
No, not at all. It's still a working cargo port. Sugar gets exported, limestone,
Yeah.
and historically, bauxite was a big one.
Right. Bauxite. We'll probably circle back to that. But first, that name, Ocho Rios, it's Spanish, means eight rivers.
Yeah, that's the translation.
Except there aren't eight rivers there, are there?
No, not really, which
Yeah.
is, pretty intriguing straight off the bat.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it, how place names can sometimes, I don't know, mask the real story or maybe just a simple mistake?
Exactly. And the sources point towards a likely explanation that Ocho Rios is probably an English corruption, a mishearing or miswriting of the original Spanish name,
Which was
Las Choreras.
Last truth, meaning
The waterfalls, which makes perfect sense, given that the famous Duns River Falls are right nearby.
okay, that clicks. So Las Chorreras, the waterfalls, somehow gets twisted into Ocho Rios, eight rivers, by the British.
Seems like it. It's a classic example, really, of how language shifts and, well, colonial influence can literally rewrite the map, even down to the name of the town. The original meaning just got lost over time as English became dominant.
Fascinating. So this place, born from waterfalls but named for non-existent rivers, clearly has transformation in its DNA. And that really ramps up when it becomes this major resort area. You see pictures. It's nestled between these lush green mountains and the Caribbean Sea. Just beautiful.
It is stunning. And the transformation was, well, dramatic. From that quiet fishing village we mentioned to this really lively bay beach lined with
What
hotels.
drove that change so quickly?
Infrastructure was massive. That's a key point in the sources. Things like the North Coast Highway drastically cutting travel time from Montego Bay down to maybe, what, an hour 45. And then more recently, Highway 2000 since about 2016. That slashed the drive from Kingston to under an hour. Imagine the difference that makes bypassing the old winding roads.
Huge difference. Suddenly it's so much easier to get to.
Exactly. These roads weren't just roads, they were like arteries pumping development and accessibility into Ochi.
So you get there easily now. What about places to stay? You mentioned resorts.
Oh, there's a real mix. You've got places like the Jamaica Inn, quite sophisticated, been around since the 50s, known for its cottages, private beach feel.
Classic.
Then there's the other end, like Moon Palace Jamaica. Big contemporary all-inclusive pools, spa, right near town.
Something for everyone, then.
Pretty much. And if
Nice.
you want something more, maybe intimate or romantic, Hermosa Cove has these private villas set in tropical gardens. Really lovely.
And the beaches themselves, beyond the hotel ones.
Good variety there, too. Ocho Rios Bay Beach, people call it Turtle Beach. That's got the soft white sand, calm, shallow water, great for families. Then, a bit further out in Discovery Bay, there's Cortoseco Beach. Historically significant, some believe it's where Columbus first landed. White sand again, but also has an aqua park now.
Right, mixing history and fun.
Yeah. And for something maybe quieter, Mahogany Beach is known as a more tranquil spot. Good for just soaking up the sun, grabbing some traditional food.
Okay, so beaches, places to stay. What about things to do? Attractions.
Oh, plenty. Mystic Mountain is a big one.
Big
Opened in
one.
2008. famously inspired by the Jamaican bobsled team.
Right, the bobsled ride.
Yeah. And it got this huge upgrade in 2019, like over half a billion Jamaican dollars invested. That signals a real shift, you know, towards these big, high investment themed attractions, not just relying on the natural beauty.
Interesting strategy. What else?
Dolphin Cove is always popular, swimming with dolphins, interacting with them.
A classic Caribbean experience.
It is. And then there's Fern Gully. That's quite unique. It was actually formed by an earthquake back in 1907. Yeah, it's this gorge, maybe about 3 miles long, just packed with ferns, over 500 different kinds, apparently. Now it's actually a road, the Fern Gully Highway.
Driving through a fern jungle, basically.
Kind of. Mm. And of course, being on the coast, all the usual water sports are big. Scuba diving, snorkeling, that sort of thing.
Okay, so lots for tourists, but let's peel back those layers. This resort glamour, it's built on a much deeper history, right?
Absolutely. To really get Ochi, you have to go way back.
Where do we start?
With the very first people there, the Taino. They were an Arawak group who settled Jamaica around maybe 1000 BCE.
A long time ago.
A very long time. And they called the island Zameca.
Zameca.
Meaning land of wood and water. Which is just perfect, isn't it? Captures the essence of Jamaica.
It really does. What happened to the Taino?
Tragically, their population just plummeted after Columbus claimed the island for Spain in 1494. Disease brought by the Europeans, enslavement, warfare. Ah. It was devastating. A really stark story repeated across the Americas.
Right. So Spain takes over.
Yes. And Spain brings the first enslaved Africans to Jamaica in 1517. Then, fast forward about 140 years, May 1655, the British take the island.
And the Spanish didn't just give up.
No, they tried to recapture it. Sailed from Cuba, fought fierce battles right near Ocho Rios in 1657 and 1658. Those are known as the Battle of Las Torreras.
Las Torreras again. Back to the waterfalls.
Exactly. Ties it all together. But interestingly, during both Spanish and early British rule, Ocho Rios itself wasn't strategically that important.
So what was it used for?
Well, the sources say pirates liked it. Along with Port Royal, Ochi served as a kind of operational base for them sometimes.
Pirates. Okay, that adds a bit of spice. What happens after piracy fades and slavery ends?
Slavery is abolished in 1834. Then comes this period described as poverty and rebirth. It's a really crucial time. Newly freed slaves settle, transform the area into a stable fishing village. That's the foundation of the community we see later.
A fishing village. And then industry arrives.
Yeah, in the 1940s, Reynolds Jamaica Mines comes in, builds this deep water pier, the Reynolds Pier, specifically for exporting bauxite.
Ah, the bauxite connect.
Right. It was a big economic driver for a while, though Reynolds, Elkin, Kaiser, those big aluminum companies, they've all since left Jamaica. Global economics shift, you know.
True. So the bauxite era fades, but the infrastructure is there.
And that leads into the next phase.
Yeah.
Even while it was still a pretty quiet village in the 1960s, the government, through agencies like ISACO, the Santa Ana Development Company, and the UDC, the Urban Development Corporation, started deliberately developing it.
Deliberately? How so?
They were very systematic. They dredged the harbor, built a marina, reclaimed land along the shore. They even created Turtle Beach using imported sand.
Imported sand. Wow.
Yeah. Plus building shopping centers, housing complexes. It wasn't just organic growth. It was planned transformation, a real blueprint for creating a tourist destination.
That top-down planning really shaped its modern character then.
Hugely. And amidst all this change, a really significant historical figure spent time there.
Who was that?
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Really? In Ocho Rios?
Yes. He stayed there in January and February of 1967. And it was during that stay that he drafted his final book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community?
That's incredible, writing such a profound book in, well, what most people see as a vacation spot.
It adds such a layer, doesn't it? Shows a different side, a quiet, contemplative aspect to the place. And speaking of history, there are other important sites nearby, too.
Like what?
Well, there's Seville Heritage Park. That showcases the whole sweep Taino Spanish British colonial history. Very comprehensive.
Okay.
Then you have the Green Grotto Caves. It's this huge limestone cave system, like 5,000 feet long. It was used as a refuge over centuries. Runaway slaves hid there. Smugglers, too. More hidden history.
Caves always have secrets.
They do. And on a totally different note, you've got Firefly nearby. That was the playwright. Sir Noel Coward's place. Mm-hmm. Hilltop home. Amazing coastal views.
Ah, the glamour connection.
Exactly. And just down the road in Orcabessa is Goldeneye. That was Ian Fleming's villa.
James Bond's birthplace.
Pretty much. That's where he wrote all the Bond novels. So you've got civil rights history, pirate history, literary history, all converging around this one area.
It's an amazing mix. Okay, let's shift focus a bit. What about the living culture? The vibe of Ochi today, the arts, food, nightlife.
Right, the heartbeat of the place. Well, the arts and crafts scene is really vibrant, especially in the local markets.
Where should people look?
Places like the Ocho Rios Craft Market, Oldie Market Craft Shops, Island Village, you'll find loads of handmade stuff. Jewelry, wood carvings, paintings. It's a great way to connect with local artisans.
Beyond shopping.
Yeah, you also get events popping up, healing workshops, music festivals. There's a real creative energy.
And the food. I imagine Jamaican food is a big draw.
Oh, definitely. The dining scene is fantastic. For that authentic jerk flavor, the Ocho Rios Jerk Center is a must visit. Chicken, pork, fish, all grilled over pimento wood.
Making me hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah. Then there's Miss T's Country Kitchen. That does really good traditional Jamaican dishes, curried goat, oxtail, but maybe with a bit of a modern twist, using local ingredients.
Nice.
Any other highlights? Passage to India is interesting. It blends Indian spices with Caribbean ingredients, shows that fusion element. And for something more casual, lively, there's Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, tropical drinks, food, pool. It's a whole vibe.
Margaritaville often is. Does that lead into the
It does, yeah.
nightlife?
Margaritaville transitions from daytime fun to nighttime music and dancing pretty smoothly. But for more local flavor, Main Street is where you'll find clubs and bars bumping reggae and dancehall.
The real Jamaican sound.
Exactly. But if you want something quieter, maybe the Almond Tree restaurant has live jazz some nights. Or Bamboo Blue offers drinks right on the beach. So again, lots of different options depending on your mood.
Seems like you can find whatever evening you're looking for. Now, we mentioned Dunn's River Falls earlier, the most famous natural attraction.
The icon, really. Climbing the falls hand in hand is the classic thing to do,
Yeah.
but you can also just chill on the beach at the bottom.
Are there other waterfalls or natural spots worth seeing?
Oh yeah, Conoco Falls and Park is another great one. It's got botanical gardens, exotic birds, a small zoo, plus the waterfall itself. It feels maybe a bit more curated than Dunn's River, more park-like.
A different experience.
Yeah, and for pure relaxation, river rafting is lovely, especially on the White River. You just float downstream through these amazing bamboo groves. Very peaceful.
Sounds idyllic. Okay, so we've covered history, culture, nature. What about Ochi's cameo appearances? You mentioned Bond earlier.
Right. It's got some surprising pop culture connections. So Dr. No, the very first Bond film from 1962, parts were shot there. The Sans Souci Hotel, which is still there, I believe, was used as Miss Taro's house.
Cool.
And Bond came back for Live and Let Die in 1973. And it wasn't just Bond, James Cameron's first ever movie.
James Cameron? Like Titanic and Avatar, James Cameron?
The very same. His directorial debut was a slightly less prestigious film called Piranha the Stalkin', The Spawning in 1982.
Piranha second, never heard of it.
Maybe for good reason. But parts of it were filmed at the Mallard's Beach Hyatt Hotel in Ocho Rios. So Ochi's seen everything from Bond glamour to, well, flying piranhas.
That's quite the range. Any other fun facts?
There's a song by the British band 10cc called From Rochdale to Ocho Rios. So it even made it into song titles.
Huh. Okay, so wrapping this all up, what's the big picture here? We've journeyed from Taino settlements to pirate hideouts, fishing villages, bauxite ports, planned resorts, and movie locations.
Quite a story, isn't it?
It really is. Ocho Rios seems like this living example of resilience and constant reinvention, holding on to its natural beauty while adapting to massive changes.
I think that's exactly right. It embodies how history, local culture, global economics, and, sheer natural beauty can weave together to create a place that's incredibly multifaceted. Its evolution tells a bigger story about Caribbean development, tourism, and how places keep their identity even as they change.
So, thinking about the future, given this rich, surprising history and this constant flux, what's next for Ochi? How might today's changing world climate change, shifts in tourism continue to shape it? And what new layers, what new deep dives might visitors uncover down the road?
That's the fascinating question, isn't it? Its story is definitely still being written.